Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Slay in Your Lane, the podcast. My name is Yomi Degeke.
And I'm Elizabeth Uvebenene.
So, Elizabeth, how has your week been?
It's been good. Because we're recording this on a Wednesday, aren't we? So, halfway through the week. Honestly, it feels like a hump day. I don't know, everything just feels very... I feel like we're getting back to normal in a weird way. Like, whatever this new normal looks like. If I get over saying the new normal all the time. But
I hate it so much.
I hate it, but I use it now and like sarcasm.
Ironic.
Oh my god. The new normal.
I'm still earnest with it. I hate saying it, but I mean it all the time. I'm like, this is the new normal. It feels so somber, like
it does. I think honestly, I just feel like every week just feels, I don't know, it feels not, I wouldn't say harder, but it just feels like, I can't describe it. It just feels as if like I'm a sim. And I keep doing I feel like a sim. The universe is this software, and I'm just doing the exact same thing, and I'm trying, like, genuinely. I feel like a sim. I leave my house and I go to buy food every single day because I do it deliberately to kind of, you know, have some sort of like just a walk and stuff, because I just know I'll just be in my house all the time.
I hope you're at least a sim. I was about to say, I hope you're at least a sim with like the green, at least some green plus bars, bladder plus, social plus, not all in minuses, I hope.
Like. No. It's so funny because I've been playing the sim a lot this lockdown, but I'm trying to think, what type of sim am I?
You're a money sim,
love. I'm a boring
money sim. A boring sim, but a money sim.
Oh, God. I'm a boring sim. That's all this sim cares about is going up, not even career ladder, but just doing the exact same mundane shit every single day. The carpool picks the sim up, go to work, come back, eating bread and toast. What's not bread and toast? Bread and toast. But what is the thing? My favorite meal to cook on the sim is lobster thermidor.
Well, you're a money sim after all, so quite apt, on point.
Yeah. If you were a sim, what would be your sim?
What a great question. Look at me, I'm so eager to answer it before you even asked it, because I was literally on another podcast. Again, why would we be speaking about the sim? It's like Sims is like such a common millennial experience. But if I was a sim, I was saying that I'd be I'd be a family sim. At the moment, I'm a failed romance sim. I'm a romance sim with all the bars in the minus.
That is very true.
I'm a romance sim that's not living her the romance fantasies and goals that that get her I can't remember. It's been
what
so
type
long
of
I
romance?
The
are you the Don Lothario? I would have, or
I was. I remember at uni.
Yeah. And now you've moved
on my Don Lothario.
Now you're moved
to being a family sim.
Do you know what was her name? Is it, you know, the original sim? There was that Brandy. Was it Brandy that had the kid?
Bella Goth.
No, Bella Goth.
Oh no,
was
Brandy, the
single mom
with the trailer park. Yeah.
Forget the single part. But
I'm like, where are we going with this? and the kid part. Bit. What's and happened?
I think it's fair to say, like, you know, we've had discussions that you're ready.
Ciao. I'm ready. Paul, again, why was I saying this on another podcast? And I was using the Simpsons analogy going, yeah, so, you know, I feel like that's the only way we can understand our lives in this generation. We're like, so if I was a sim, I'd be a family sim. And my goals for the next, I've really been putting, you know that meme where Kim Kardashian's like, what did she say? She's like, I was sending signals that I'm single or something. And then the next picture, like, I'm single.
No, I haven't.
It's like me. I'm like, I've forgotten exactly how it's worded, but it's something like, I was like putting out messages that I'm single. And it's like me. I'm like, oh, I'm being really, what's the word? Like, what's the word, inferring it, when really I'm literally just out here going, yeah, so I'm a failed romantic. I don't know how much more bait you can get in terms of like the fact that I'm like, I'm ready to mingle, y'all.
Yeah, but Nicki Minaj is talking about babies and
oh my God, right?
Nicki Minaj is pregnant.
Mate, I'm a Nicki Minaj sim. Get all the work out of the way. And then, like, then just post up, but then not with... This is the thing. I'm like, I'm putting out messages that I'm single, and it's like, in reality, to who? Because looking at Nicki Minaj, I saw a tweet that was like, well done to Nicki Minaj for getting herself pregnant. I was like, right? We're all just ignoring. We're just ignoring.
Nah. Do you know how funny that is?
That getting was single, herself pregnant. Like... That was like, hilarious. You know, but those single cell organisms, whatever, that like can impregnate themselves, like whatever the hell she did. I don't know how she managed it, but we're all very proud of her, because boy, we are not acknowledging that man. And that's the thing. I'm like, me and you are being like, oh my God, dating, whatever. But when it really and truly, who are we talking to? Because it's like, in reality, we're sending those signals out to like what? 0.4% of the male population.
Half, 0.00.
Less than
like,
that.
Literally less than that. And right? I hate...
No, we don't mean it.
Being single, yeah, I actually hate like talking about it, because I feel like when you talk about it and you're like, oh, everyone just assumes that you're like, you're desperate. And it's kind of like...
Oh my God.
I don't know, but do you know how you
think
feel?
It's the complete opposite with you.
I don't want to talk about it.
You're like the picky... I don't know who is picky out of you and me, but... I mean, it's definitely a competition to be had, because we're both pretty picky. But you just by virtue of not wanting to date anyone on the planet doesn't mean you don't want to date. It's weird. It's like, I hate all of you. It'd be great if one of you wasn't just a bit less terrible. Then we could do something here. But it doesn't change the fact that you get bored. You're just bored and know at the same time you're not about to thrive with... 99 point whatever of the percent of the population. But
honestly,
oh, it is, gosh, well, 7 minutes in and we're already derailed into single.
Oh God, this is the thing. And it starts being like, oh my God, woe is me. And do you know what, all I think about, do you know, I think, what's that, just girl,
Gemma Collins,
where my she was queen. Just crying, and she's just like doing this just by myself all the time, like,
oh my God, that was... I just want somebody else to do it. I can't do it anymore. We were like, oh, we were actually triggered. Remember that? We watched it live from Big Brother. And she started crying. Like, I just fed up of doing it on my own. And we had tears. Everyone was laughing. We had tears in our eyes. We were just both like, no, but that seriously hit a bone. Like, you know you can do it yourself, but you don't want to, and you're tired, and you're like, can somebody else purchase the bag, for goodness sake?
You're actually awful.
I don't want to work for it.
How can someone else purchase the bag? I'm absolutely... You didn't even say, could someone help me like with my bags up the stairs? It's purchase the bag.
Please, purchase the bag, carry it up the stairs. Just anything. Ooh. We're fed up, guys. We're fed up. Be better, please, so me and Elizabeth don't have to give you guys this diatribe before every episode.
Before every episode, but we'll keep you guys posted as time goes on. Will we, or will we just emerge with a baby impregnated like Nicki? We'll work that out.
Right, we'll see.
So today's topics. So our first topic that we wanted to speak about was spending habits. So according to this, you know, BBC article, there's a BBC article that talks about how Brits have spent an additional 24 million on tea and coffee and an extra 19 million on biscuits in the past 3 months.
20 million of that is from you, Elizabeth. I hope you know that. Single-handedly.
Tea and coffee. Like,
not even necessarily tin cup, biscuits, snacks, anything. Is that not you?
But
I feel like you love a bit of clipping.
Too much.
You love snacks even pre-lockdown. Biscuits.
Because I have dessert every day. I cannot have dinner and not have dessert. I think
you have dessert for dessert. It's crazy. Dessert for dinner, mate.
Yeah, it genuinely makes me just like, if I don't have dessert in my house, there's something wrong. Like, like one thing you can guarantee, my fridge has Kinder Bueno ice cream. Like, there's bare stuff in there. So
you really do.
So, but I don't think I've increased though. I think all the rest of y'all have increased, because it's saying that, you know, an extra 90 million on biscuits in the pot. I'm not going to lie, British people, that's too mad. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So embarrassing and predictable.
So predictable.
Oh, and crumpet sales are through the roof. Like, it's just so bait. Like, come on, guys. Like, let's not be that cliche. Coffee, tea and biscuits. Like, it's just very... I guess you revert to creature comfort, Char. Like, I'm not really a biscuit. I mean, I love a biscuit, but... It's not something I think to. Who doesn't? But it's not something I actually go out of my way and think to buy. So it's like, I do think actually, to be fair, I'm probably responsible for a good meal of that, because like over lockdown, I've definitely increased. Like, I started bulk buying like biscuits and crisps and stuff off Amazon when the flipping, what's the word? Supermarkets weren't doing deliveries and stuff.
I know. I was there.
You were there. So yeah, and this is why Jeff Bezos is doing, I'm 10 billion richer today, and I'm doing, how did that happen?
Seriously? What, that came out?
Yeah, that came out. That came out just, I think it's trending right now. Yeah, Jeff Bezos is trending, and it's because he made 10 billion in, oh, sorry, my mistake. It was 13 billion in one day.
It's all right for some.
And I literally, I'm like, disgusting. I literally, with my Amazon boxes just piling up in the background.
This is, you know what I mean? When I was, it's, my relationship with Amazon is very much of like, disgusting, disgrace. Like, literally, every time I use it, I go, Elizabeth, you're part of the problem. And honestly, I love saying, toxic. I'm part of the problem too.
Codependency.
So, because I know you've obviously bought loads of like groceries and stuff at the start and everything like that. There's also, so in the article, it talks about take home alcohol sales have also gone up as a result of people avoiding pubs. I know you can definitely speak to the increase of that.
Did you hear how quiet I went? I thought, is she about to? It's true though, I cannot lie. Bloody hell.
How many bottles of alcohol would you say you have not consumed? Because I don't want people to have a very, you know,
honestly,
because
you don't want me sectioned.
Basically, but how many bottles of wine have you bought during this time? Roughly.
God is my witness, I absolutely do not have a clue. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Since in the past 3 months, Paul, I do not know. I mean, we bear in mind, like, I think we were sent like a bottle of champagne by like our publisher a couple of months. I think Fourth Estate sent us like a bottle like maybe a couple of months ago. And I remember each time like my alcohol supply has kind of gone down, I've been looking at that champagne thinking, I might have to do a weird like self-celebration on my own with like this bottle of champers if I get to that point and run out. But the fact that I haven't ever reached that point says a lot, because just even when lockdown was at its highest peak, I was, you know, trailing whatever black market I could find to make sure I had bottles of red wine. So I honestly couldn't tell you. It's like me asking, how many biscuits do you think you've consumed? You don't know. I don't know, girl. I'm True. Just like, it's a lot. It's a lot. How about you? You started doing that Diane Abbott's like campaign for that branding, that collab that she did with Marks and Spencer's mojitos or whatever.
Yeah.
You really bought into it. You've been on that, innit?
I've bought into it. Like, it's just, you know, I like anything that's convenient and very easy and an easy habit to take up. I never look back. give me an easy habit to kind of like go after, and I will stick to that. But yeah, no, I've definitely drank more alcohol being at home than even going out, like if it was a normal time. And I think it's just, I remember when you told me because of, obviously, COVID, we shouldn't be drinking. I don't think you framed it as we shouldn't be drinking alcohol, because obviously that is you. So I don't think you'd have been like, we shouldn't be. But I remember you sent me an article that was very much going like, oh, you know, alcohol, you know, reduces your immune system.
Yeah.
And I was so angry because this was like when COVID was like, we didn't know what it was. Like, yeah, obviously, we still don't know what this thing is. Like, we're still learning. But it was really toxic at that point, and it was really so intense. So I remember thinking, you know what, okay, the perks of, you know, there'll be an outlet, I can drink at home, I can relax, play The Sims, chill. And then when you said, when you sent me this article that talks about reducing immune system, which then reduces your fight to fight off this COVID, I was fuming.
You
I remember
livid.
Being so angry, because I was like, it's taking my liberty away,
yeah,
it's taking my alcohol away, what else is there?
What do you mean it took your alcohol away? I remember as soon as I told you, you're just like, well, I mean, that's got nothing to do with me. So like, you outrightly just ignored it. You were just like, so that's interesting. Fascinating points. Anyway, Shah, you just picked up your drink and carried on as if I never sent it, which is exactly what I did. I was such a liar. I remember that group chat with you, me, and my mom, and I'd be sending stuff and then just completely ignoring it myself because I sent that alcohol thing only to buy like a crate of wine the next day. I didn't mean anything. I just like to scaremonger.
Honestly, it's funny because Yomi's mom, myself, and Yomi are in a WhatsApp group that is called COVID-19.
With the emoji, a mask emoji, gloves, because I was really trying to make it clear to my mum. It doesn't seem, the only way she seems to be able to ingest information is through WhatsApp, through fake news on WhatsApp. So I thought, right, I'll speak her language. We'll create a group where me and you just drop passive aggressive. We're dropping hints that she may catch COVID.
Honestly.
I love that woman.
What a time that was, you know.
What a time.
Like, you really created that because it was just such a, like, we need up-to-date information. We need to keep everybody. It was the definition of we have to keep everyone in the loop, like, literally, of what's going on. And yeah, so as part of this, like, spending habits convo that was taking place in this article, and generally, it was like people have been speaking a lot more about how lockdown has affected finances, like personal finances, and yeah, so are there any surprising, like, savings you've made on things? Because I know people have been speaking about, like, travel and all of this stuff and things like that, like savings, and I think people have been really, like, reveling in, like, saving money. Yes, have there been any surprises that you've made, or are they, like, you know, anything you splashed out on since you've been, like, since we've all been on lockdown?
Girl, like, I literally wrote about this, I think maybe last week. I was talking about the fact that, like, it was like a series called, like, lockdown epiphanies, and my epiphany was that, wow, it doesn't matter if I'm in a global pandemic or if I'm, like, out and about, whatever, wherever I am, I will always spend money on food. I will never learn how to cook. This is just as I was, you know, sort of saying, yeah, I'm out here, like, oh, I'm dating, whatever. In the same episode, I'm now advertising. I will never learn how to cook. I cannot, I shall not. Because genuinely, like, this was the period, if I was ever going to learn how to cook jollof, if I was ever going to learn to, like, make ayam mache, it was going to be during this period. And then I just realized, like, wow, I'm never just going to stop buying food in ridiculous amounts. And also the fact that, like, there's a place up my, not even up my road, like, maybe a few blocks away, that does ayam mache for like £17, Elizabeth. £16.99. And then on top of that, there's £4.
Which place?
Charge. It's called Enish. It's really fucking good, girl.
Tell me,
like, how dare you?
I went to it.
Enish.
You know what I mean? You think you're speaking to one of your other friends?
I thought I was bringing you in the loop. I was like, yeah, it's called Enish.
I've been there plenty of times.
Girl. Excuse me.
Physical.
Of course, you've been there, Money Sim. It's 20 fucking pounds. Are you joking?
It's expensive.
It's 21
you're
quid
me?
To get that to my house. And I've been buying that 2 times a week.
You're the definition of, are you joking? Like, it is.
Girl, you're fucking joking. You're joking me.
It's expensive.
Girl.
So, the pounded yam. Oof. It is.
Is it
I
mad?
Haven't had it for ages. Like,
is it Tiwa Tiwa mad? Remember Tiwa Tiwa and Peckham?
Oh, no. Tiwa Tiwa is better.
Yeah, nothing's better.
Tiwa Tiwa is better. Enish is good. So
very
this is the
good.
It's expensive, though.
So expensive. Lockdown's been expensive.
Yeah.
The food's not cheap. I don't know. Everyone's like, savings. I'm like, literally on what? Like, what? I want to know what people are saving on. Like, I've had to buy things to keep me. I bought a fucking back straightener. Like, literally, like, this flipping. You know them things, a brace that keeps your, like, posture better? I bought a bloody, oh my God, I have literally, like, I think I spoke about this, like, in the first episode we ever recorded, that I literally have, like, baby feet now because I bought all this fucking shit that, like, fixes up my horrendous, like, you know, like, flipping runner feet, despite the fact I don't and cannot run. Like, my feet were horrendous. And, like, after 3 months in lockdown, buying all this crap, they're actually, like, normal people's feet. I've, like, bought, like, bare crap to, like, pass the time. And I don't understand people that are buying clothes because I'm just like, where am I going? But I have bought, like, a lot of food, a lot of, like, you know, just, like, random, like, I bought, like, shit for my clay sculptures and just things, like, hobby shit. What about you? I know, obviously, you've been buying food, which was the case before, even though you can cook.
But I refuse to cook.
You refuse to cook.
Won't cook.
You listen up, lads. She can cook, but guess what? She won't. So
I won't.
Line up, y'all. But yeah, like, what about you? Because I think, were you buying clothes? I feel like your crazy ass was buying clothes.
No, I've, because you know what? I've been literally been reveling in my house clothes a lot.
And oh my God, right?
I love a good house. So I've been reveling in just like wearing stuff that I would wear normally out and just relegating them to house clothes. So
no, you've not got, no, Polly. You do not have another cycle, no. No,
I'm on another level to kind of guys, get this,
this
cycle.
Is a thing she
pipeline.
Does.
It's a pipeline. So
it's a pipeline. It's a pipeline. It's, guys, she does. I don't know if you've said this before, but she does this thing where, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, she'll have these perfectly nice, perfectly expensive, like, or certainly not cheap clothes that she'll wear a couple of times, and then somehow, like, maybe once by accident, she'll like wear it as a top around the house, and she's like, oh, actually. This feels comfortable, and then suddenly she's wearing like a chiffon blouse like around her house's house clothes. How does it, and it's literally a pipeline, because the amount of dresses I've seen like this girl answer her door in, I'm like, but you were wearing this out like last week, how is this already been relegated into the house clothes pile? And where does the pipeline end?
When does it end?
Normally the bin, or normally just, oh, here's a big old chunk of, here's a, like, I think now you actually got, you're like, oh, charity, like, let me put them to the charity, or let me whatever. But before, it's literally just, the pipeline doesn't end. Like, it just, 90% of the closet just becomes house clothes, and you go, oh, I need to go, God, really, now I need to definitely buy a whole new batch for double the price, because I don't have any clothes now.
It's like sustainability. So I'm definitely being more mindful about what I'm like buying. So I'm not trying to buy, you know, certain things anymore, but I'm trying to
what
buy
those
longer.
Things?
Just certain, like, just like, you know, ASOS will bother me. Oh, we got 20% off. I'm like, no, ASOS, I don't need it. Go away. So I've literally just been literally doing, you know what, if you buy something that lasts longer, it's better. So I've just, but to be honest, I buy stuff that actually is quite, I wouldn't say it's cheap anyway, like all that sort of stuff. But
that's why it's so funny watching you wear your silk trousers as house clothes.
It's just, this is it.
They're actually really nice, like, all the time.
I think I've just been trying to be a bit more, like, mindful. But what I have bought recently that has been the best thing that happened to me is a coffee machine. Like, it's changed my life. Two things have actually changed my life. A coffee machine and AirPods. Those, I can never live without it anymore.
I don't, Polly, I'm literally like, I'm so still when you're talking about AirPods.
Wait.
Am I allowed to go there that you lost them?
Oh my God. I lost AirPods. So I had it for like two weeks.
Money then saving.
I had to buy it
that's
again.
That's the price. I can't.
But I had to buy it again, which was so horrible. What a horrible experience.
Oh God.
But then honestly, the thing that's been I've been thriving with the coffee machine. But the problem with getting a coffee machine is that it's the pods that get you. So like you buy the coffee machine, it comes with a set of pods, and then you kind of like, oh, I like this one better, this tastes better, and then you keep buying the pods, and those are the things that kind of like you sign up to, and you're very much like in debt to this machine, because you want to use it, you've got to buy capsules to kind of make the right capsules. So it's a never ending capitalist cycle.
Them ones.
But I don't know, would you say your spending habits will change over the next year? Would you, I don't know, like, apart from clothes, apart from, like, have you looked at it any differently?
Have I looked at it any differently? I wouldn't say any better. So, if anything, I'll probably revert to how I was before. Like, I'm really good at saving anyway. Like, I'm addicted to saving. Like, I do love
it's
to save.
It's a condition.
So, right? It's literally a condition. It's a condition I'm very happy to have. I'm blessed.
I think there's actual proper condition it. Actually.
I think you sent me that piece. I think you sent me that piece where it was like,
I'm addicted to saving.
Like, yeah, I'm addicted to saving. Like, I genuinely am. I'm so afraid of financial instability that, like,
I thought you were going to say
PTSD.
What? I'm afraid of financial ruin.
Girl, that too. Girl, that too. You know I am. I'm fucking afraid of financial ruin, financial instability, that I just save so much. But I think my money habits have gotten worse, to be honest, post-lockdown, because there was a point, I shit you not, I was like, because how Amazon gets you is with the £20 free delivery. So I'd be like, oh God, this is only £14.99. Anybody need anything? I'd be like, oh guys, and then my mum and my sister will pile in. Oh, how about that pogo stick that I really like? I just start throwing in their fucking requests. So then every single, if not day, I'd like be getting these random Amazon orders of just miscellaneous, like speaking of The Sims, the miscellaneous section where it's literally like, a flipping snakeskin rug or like just some rabbit rubbish shit. And like every single day I'd get a new order. But because we're like 3 months in, we honestly ran out of imaginative we ran out of things to buy, so now we're just like sat here like, oh okay, whatever. So yeah, I don't think I've learned anything honestly, other than I shall not cook. I should and I know that, and it will save me money, but it's not what I'm here to do, so I'm just gonna buy all the food and leave it at that. How about you?
I think there's two things that I'm getting out of lockdown. Trying to be more patient. That's a fucking white challenge, because I'm not patient whatsoever. Then I think it's like investing in like home comforts that I guess when you don't necessarily think about, people will say you got to invest in a good car, invest in a good couch, and invest in a good bed, and because those are the things you spend a lot of time sitting on and things like that.
That's a good point.
So I think I've been more like, I think maybe it's the millennial condition, being obsessed with interiors a little bit. But apart from making so many trips to IKEA and buying home comforts and stuff, I think I've definitely been more aware of my surroundings and my local community, and like been, because we're spending way more time around like, you know, our local high street. So it's got me thinking a lot about like the development around, this is not answering your question, by the way.
It's interesting nonetheless. So I might continue. Yeah, honestly.
Because the thing is, it's like we live obviously in like, you know, Croydon and stuff, and being out in the shopping centre and just looking at it so much, like especially when it's been really like bare and not necessarily like the most vibrant, it's I wonder how, you know, the high street will, our spending habits going out of this will change the high street, and I was reading something about 15-minute cities, that how like Paris, like there's a Paris mayor like is trying to implement this or something like that, but they're looking at like Hackney. So the concept of the 15-minute city is basically from where you live to where you kind of like buy food and everything, you should have everything around you, so within a 15-minute walk. And it's quite radical, because it's not necessarily like what we have now. We don't work and live in our general kind of like 15-minute radius sort of thing. So I think someone, you know, we've been freelance for ages, so it's something that more than the average person, we've probably experienced this whole 15-minute thing a lot, more pre-lockdown. So yeah, it's just got me thinking about, you know, if I'm spending more time in like in Croydon and where I live, therefore my money is going to impact on the local businesses. And you know, and what does that actually look like? So even the fact that you're like spending 20 quid on Ennish and stuff like that, that's probably 20 quid that you'd have probably spent on Burger Lobster, knowing you, like 100%, like
knowing me,
actually
knowing
more than 20
me,
pounds
knowing you, yep, that's on cocktails alone,
exactly. Literally. But yeah, no, that's, yeah, honestly, just spending more time in the community, I wonder how that will kind of like change our habits, and therefore what local shops will thrive out of this, and things like that. So our next topic is friendships under lockdown. So I guess lockdown's changing, you know, it's changed a lot of our habits and things like that, and our relationships and all of that sort of stuff. And I guess people are experiencing, you know, dating under lockdown, like new friends under lockdown, all of that sort of stuff. So we were speaking to our, you know, our producer before we started recording, and we were talking about like, you know, meeting, like dating and stuff, and people dating on the lockdown. I know we've spoken about dating on the lockdown in another episode, but you know, friendships and relationships are still part of this discussion. So in what ways has living under lockdown made us more, you know, sociable creatures or less sociable, and you know, has friendships strengthened or weakened, even family relationships as well, like it's not just friendships and dating, it's just relationships in general.
Yeah, man. I think it's been, personally, I think it's been weird. Like, I think, like, there are a lot of people that I was saying that, like, I was saying, like, last week that I feel a lot of relationships I've had that are like acquaintances. I have loads of acquaintances, and I really only have a proper small handful of small friends, of close friends, sorry. And that's still definitely the case, because I'm not a particularly like, I don't really know. Like, I would say I'm very
sociable. Picky bitch.
I'm a picky bitch. I'm picky in terms of guys. I'm picky in terms of gals. I'm picky in terms of friends.
Food.
I'm just picky in terms of food, right? Just generally as a person. but then at the same time, up for anything. I don't know how it works, but it's genuinely, they're both true. Like, I'm very laid back, but then also picky. I don't know how it works, but you even know what I mean. I don't know how, but it's strange.
Like, it's like when Bart Simpson said, I don't know when he said, I'm an enigma with an enigma with an enigma.
Yeah.
That's just how I view my life. Like,
literally.
Contradictions all over
just, it's contradictions galore. So, like, yeah, like, I have a lot of acquaintances, and obviously working in the media, you build up a lot of, like just friends that, like, you know, friends in the social media sense, in the way that, like, you have 900 friends on Facebook, but obviously they're not actually your friends, they're just connections. And, like, there's a lot of that, like, work, the media just kind of, I guess, like, creates those kind of relationships at, like, a scale that is, like, massive, essentially. But then what's been interesting in lockdown is that a lot of those kind of, I guess, relationships that were acquaintanceships, basically, but quite, like, maybe friendlier ones, or ones where, like, there was, like, a real mutual respect, or, like, we kind of got on better than, like, I guess, general acquaintances. Like, some of those have, like, tipped into the actual friend category, I guess, because, like, normally if you're seeing somebody, like, at an event, or you're, talking in, like, Instagram comment sections, there's, like, obviously only so far the conversation can go. Whereas, especially in those first manic weeks of lockdown where it genuinely felt like Armageddon, people were, like, if no one had anything to do, voice notes just got longer. People just started talking about, like, really deep stuff really quickly, because I guess we all kind of felt like the world might end. I still feel like we're in that weird space. Do you know what I mean? So just, I think it just, things got intenser and quicker. And I think, like, there are a lot of relationships I had that were kind of like, yeah, we're cool, and there's, like, a mutual respect there, and, like, yeah, like, I like what you're doing. But, like, we've actually really properly, like, started talking. And, like, it's been interesting, because I think even some relationships that, like, you know, I guess were probably, like, getting more distant, or, like, maybe, I don't know, like, maybe there was just some sort of, like, yeah, I'd say distance there. It's been interesting that, like, quite a few people that I haven't really spoken to in a while, and not in, like, a, oh, it's a beef ting way, but just maybe, like, there's just been, like, a kind of, like, disconnect. There's been a bit of, like, rekindling. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's been a bit of, like, it's never a beef ting, bruv. Like, you know, it's literally, like, not with, oh, no. Yeah.
It's always a beef ting.
It's always a beef ting with you, bruv. And with me, it's a reluctant beef ting every time. I was saying this, I hate this, because I feel like I'm constantly, like, warring somebody, and I'm like, oh, for goodness sake, I don't even like it. I'm a flipping Libra, I'm a pacifist, man. I don't even want it. I'm literally just like, oh, I'm just like, here we go, shit, here we go again, that meme. I'm like, I don't even want the fights, but yet they keep coming, because everybody's mad. But anyway, yeah, like, I think there's been a lot of rekindling in terms of, like, oh, I guess that's the weird thing, when you feel like the world is gonna end, you look at stuff and you think, oh, perhaps, you know, perhaps that time where you said that my wig was skew with, and we stopped talking because of it, but maybe it wasn't that deep. There's been, I guess, a recalibration of, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Of priorities. How about you? What do you think?
You know me, I'm always up for a bit of war.
You're always up for a scrap.
Always up for a scrap. It's
have
never...
you been scrapping in lockdown? No, you can't have.
You're me. We are our squad group chat. Got this, like,
oh my god, I scrapped
on the first week of lockdown. So this is the thing about, so this is why personalities are so different, and it's just such an interesting time, because me, Yomi, myself, Yomi, and a number of our friends called Pam. Hi Pam.
What's good, Juba? DJ Juba.
So me and her got into, like, a scrap, like, literally on the when Boris Johnson was literally doing, like, your families can, like, basically anybody can get it, like, you will lose your loved ones. We thought it was a good time to basically fall out.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And it was just like the most surreal thing. Like, we fell out so for crazy. Such stupid reason, and we just didn't talk for, like, literally 2 months.
And I was just watching mum and dad fight. I was so traumatized. Oh god.
And was so sad. It was just unnecessary. And like, we ended up scrapping. And it was funny because the reason why, like, we ended up talking again is because I came to the conclusion that she, like, it's weird. It was a stupid reason why I fell out. But I guess when you have feelings that build up and people are like, therefore stressed because things are happening, you know, in like, to the whole world. And, you know, there's, you know, job insecurity. There's just like, people are dying and it's just so much going on. So it just, so tensions were just like, I guess in any other circumstances, we would have been able to get over it and just kind of move on. But because it was just such, it was so negative, we just was like, and we were very stubborn. And it was funny, the only reason why we started talking again is because social media's become weird, where I've kind of watched how people's personality in another way. So it kind of made me realize that my friend that I had wasn't that bad, like, because I've literally been like, oh my God, people are like, not in a rude way, but people are actually like, I don't know, a bit weird. So
in a rude way, everybody's mad. Everybody.
But it just made me realize that, oh my God, I actually can't not lose that friend because I'm seeing people. I don't know. I think watching certain things go on online and just the way people were interacting with each other just got to me to a point where I was just like, girl, basically, I'm not saying that I'm totally in the wrong and you're not totally in the wrong, like in the right either, but like, can we just get back on the same page?
Honestly, not totally in the wrong together. Let's just
basically. Like, but I think the biggest thing I'll definitely say is probably my relationship with my sisters. That's probably been the biggest takeaway, because because I think before lockdown we were like, honestly the biggest thing was definitely the fact that my sister gave me a niece. She did give me a niece.
Oh my God, such an insight in how you see the world. So the baby was born for me, and you know, like, I cannot. And her mum, like,
her mum basically gave me the child.
Honestly.
That happened in September, and then obviously, like, that brought us closer. But I would definitely say that when lockdown happened, it just made, like, us a lot closer, and like my other sister as well, and just like us talking more, and just like, I would just, you know. But, so I think that is probably quite nice, because I'm the type of person that, it's such a weird thing, because I don't know, you know when you go away to uni, right? And you probably think, where is this going? Do you know when you go away to uni?
You saw my eyebrows furrow. <huh? laughs>
Do you know when you go away to uni and you have those people that come home every other week to see their family, or like call their like family or their like me, when I went to uni, I didn't call anybody. I'm very much you know how I am. And it's such a bad habit. Yeah. Like, if I don't see you, I can just be in my own world, and then I don't text, or I can just basically, you'd be like, what happened to you? I'd be like, I don't, like, I'm that type of person. If I don't see that person often, or the person's, I can just withdraw into just my own kind of like world. But it's a bad habit, but I don't know, because you're not like that. Like, you're, I would say you're definitely the opposite. So I think it's interesting how, because you're the opposite in terms of like, you'd be that person that would be like, you'd call the other person, like, you went home more than I did at uni.
I went home a lot,
and you know your sisters like came up and stuff like that, so, and your mum would call you and be like, make sure you call me and stuff like
much to my dismay,
and I would be like,
and
it's just interesting how we all like, how we're brought up and how that kind of relationship is, because I've always admired, I love the fact your mum is so like in and be like, oh, where, because I think that's how I'd be as a mum. Like, I think, I didn't have that with my mum. So I actually am very much like, oh, that's so, it's so in a bit. It's cute.
And you have your moments, even with me, bruv. Anytime I've had a mental breakdown, the next day, you're just, I love those tentative messages. Like, because I'm not even an emotional person, but you'll do your little like, oh, I know it's what the girl needs to hear. And it's like, checking in. And I'm like, you're really, you know, really pulling from the well of Elizabeth's emotions, which is like so it's so not moist. So you're really, it's like, so trying to, what's the word? But every time I'm like, I appreciate it so much, Paul, because I know it's hard for you. I know you're not like that. Like, so I know when you have kids, you're definitely gonna be doing, oh, where are my babies? How are my babies?
Because just checking in with my babies. For sure. This is actually quite interesting one, actually, in terms of being flaky. So, like, you're not a flaky person. Yeah, again, I'm not. We're opposites. So,
am I not?
No, I wouldn't say you're a flaky
Polly,
person.
I'm not a flaky person to you. Oh, I'm not a flaky person to you. That special treatment. Let me tell you something. I am a flake. Just not with you.
Interesting.
I know you're just a flake.
That
full
is
stop.
So interesting. You're just a flake.
Full stop. My it name could be your husband. Elizabeth. It could be your child.
Oh my God. My name's Elizabeth Flake. You've ever been in there. Like, girl. I am the queen. That's when people go, oh, those flaky friends.
And the people, you're the Marge hiding meme. Like, that is you.
I am flaky and it is so bad. But it's bad because it's I'm such a mood-driven person. I have various mood swings. So I would just be like, I just don't feel like anything's ever that deep. Like, genuinely. Like,
your own wedding day, you'll be late. I mean, that's the point. So maybe you won't turn up, full stop.
I just don't think anything's that deep. Double There'll be booked. Times when your mood will be like, oh, should we? And I'll just go, let's cancel it.
I'm like, we're gonna die anyway. Let's roll the dice. Turn it out. Let's just not turn up every time. Oh, that's why you think I'm not flaky.
Yeah,
because
you're not
of
flaky.
Work engagements. No, that's
but
the
even
other
with
thing.
Friends, I don't even think you, no, I would with
friends, never. With friends, you're right. I'm not. But again, with you know pseudo friends, I definitely flop because I'm just always like, I forgot. I always double. That's the thing I always do. I always double book, and then it gets to the day, and I'm like, fuck. Or I've always got work that always runs over. I'll be like, yeah, I'm doing this piece and I've got the whole of today to do it. I'll spend that entire day watching 90 Day Fiancé and then I'll go, oh, I'm so sorry, I haven't finished it. That happens every single week, like every single week. But that's the other reason, because when we have like engagements or speaking events, you're the queen of, oh gosh, well, I'll be like, oh, we've got to email them. Oh, we need to get the time checked or whatever. Oh, how long is this event? And then they don't get back for 3 minutes. Oh, they probably don't want to do it anyway. Maybe we should just cancel. I'm like, Polly, I know you want to like curl up on your couch, honey. But I'm like, we've being paid. You're like, what's money? Oh, you know, you spend money, you make money, it'll come another way. I'm like, Polly, you really love to roll the dice on that one. You're ready to cancel any keynote, any panel. God,
I'm always ready to cancel. In all honesty, so let me think. Yeah, will lockdown make me less flaky? Because I'll be gagging to do things. Absolutely not. Because
of course not.
I always go, as Yomi said, we're all gonna die anyway. What's the worst that can happen?
What's the point?
My presence is not needed. Like, how can I add value to this event?
Oh my God, ready.
It's actually mad. God. So, not to talk about dating again.
Oh my gosh, honestly, we're can't help ourselves.
Help ourselves. Even like meeting up with people, like in all reality, like someone was saying to me that if you like, it's a good time to kind of get to know people.
Really?
Yeah, the definition of really. But honestly, it's a good time to kind of get to know people a little bit because there's that air of like anything can happen.
Yeah,
like air. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like people are a bit more receptive to just like, putting their biases aside of what their type is and being a bit more like open and, virtual dating and stuff like that. Like people are really, doing this. The thing is, I was saying to someone before that like, they're like, oh, I don't really like, you got to have that vibe, like, vibe check and things like that when you first meet somebody. And like, that's why they quite like, going on like Zoom virtual dates because it's, you kind of get that like air. But I don't know about you, but when you meet somebody, like let's say I'm talking about pre-lockdown in person, like, do you know when a guy says, I'm going to call you that, or I'm going to call you like, I love a call.
You love a
but
call,
I don't
yeah.
think I don't think it's a thing that many other people that maybe it's a black thing.
Do you think?
I don't know. I love a call.
I thought it was a generation thing. I thought it was maybe. We're millennials and we border. We
black
kind
guys
of like
love
live on
to
that
call,
border.
You know?
Black guys do love a ring. They do love a, so they can put on that voice and be like, oh, so what are you saying? Yeah, like, are you good? Yeah. I hate that shit.
You hate that
and
shit.
And yet,
you're conflicted. But do you like a call? Before
I love
like,
a call. Okay. But then not if, I don't know, like only if, like, oh, I don't know, man. Like only if, I'm like, I have
you've
to
missed
really
a couple of calls
like,
this lockdown, haven't you?
When I say Polly, that's what I'm trying to say. I missed, that's why we're both full of shit. because I'm here like, oh, but when it comes down to it, do I even want any of the things I'm, I just need, I just, I don't have the energy or the bandwidth, as you'd say, to sit through calls that I'm not going to be riveted by, that are not going to actually make me cry with laughter. I cannot be doing small talk.
It's true.
On this damn line. Like, it's not the 90s. Like, save it for the WhatsApps. And even then, I am 29 this year. I don't have any energy for anything. This is why, like, if someone just rang me, like, if someone just was like, oh, we're talking, and he's like, oh, I'm going to call you. I'm like, to say what? You better be flipping hilarious in this bitch. Like, you better be Dave Chappelle up in here, because I'm not really, really looking to, like, hear your day. And this is why we have voice notes as well, so we can prepare,
oh,
so we can
my
practice.
God.
You know? Try voice those notes. Jokes out first.
Oh,
I do
God.
Not want to hear them live and not give you the response that you want, because honestly, I don't even have the, I think I told you that I don't know how to fake, I definitely told you this story, how I stopped knowing how to fake laugh because I sat next to a boy at secondary school that would make the same joke every day, and I used to fake laugh every time, and to the point where now I can't do it. Like, I physically have forgotten how to do it. He knocked it out of me good and proper. So now I'm just like, I can't be fake. I don't know how to fake laugh properly. It's really obvious. So I'm just like, look, you got to really give me that tea. And like, if not, then let's just text. And even then, don't text me.
This is the thing. It's a cycle that never ends.
Right? There's no energy for any of it.
There's no energy. But you make a good point about like voice notes and making sure that like, because you've got to start. I'm not really a voice notes type of person, but I've become more voice notes in over lockdown. But I love a good call. I don't think I love someone calling me and just being like, let's chat. And honestly, just chatting and just literally just like, I really appreciate that, as opposed to just, you know, I don't know. I suppose just like going to the first date and not necessarily speaking to them. And it's just, and then you're having to like perform. But you're right though, you have to be able to have that chat, and you got to be funny. Because I think in lockdown, people have less tolerant, like, well, just less tolerant of so much stuff as well. So if you're going to start talking to me, it's got to not be awkward. Like, it's just got to just flow as well.
I definitely think for dating, at least for you and me, the tolerance has definitely gone down. With friends, I'm way more like, people are like sliding into my DMs and being like, hey girl, do you want to randomly Zoom? We've never spoken. I'm like, go on then. Like, and even house party, I was like having house party chats with people for like 4 hours that I'd spoken to like for less than 40 minutes beforehand. But with dating, like, absolutely, it's just, I don't know, it just feels like everything just feels so like dramatic, like, you know, from entanglements to flipping the bubonic plague coming back, to flipping, what's this other rubbish that happened last week? The Kanye West running for president. There's so much going on, yeah, and there's so much to talk about that's so manic that I'm like, literally, I don't know. I'd almost rather like discuss that with my friends and with random people than be having small talk with someone that can't even deliver at this point. We've got so much fodder for conversation.
It's got to be funny. I think that's because you need a bit of light, a little bit of levity in a situation. And I feel like if the person can't offer that over a phone call, then it just becomes like, oh my God, homework. And I think
honestly,
that's the thing.
You dominate another pandemic somewhere. Within a pandemic.
Honestly. So for slay or nay, we've done a couple of slays over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to give a nay this week. And the nay is not to Lewis Hamilton, but to the Formula One industry. Is that an industry? Yeah, I think it's an industry or Formula One league. Don't know much about it. Don't know much how it's all kind of like how it works. But Lewis Hamilton essentially has criticized Formula One for lacking leadership in the fight against racism. He thinks that, you know, the drivers have not been taking the issue seriously. And he basically voiced this concern after he won the Hungarian Grand Prix on Sunday, where he was left frustrated by the lack of unity on display. So Hamilton wore, you know, Black Lives Matter t-shirt, and he took the knee ahead of the race. But a lot of the drivers arrived late and didn't necessarily, right, and remained standing and didn't necessarily take the knee with him. And Lewis Hamilton basically said, you know, there is definitely not enough support for what's going on. It is like it has gone off the agenda. It is lacking leadership. From a driver's point of view, many seem to be of the opinion they've done it once and they're not going to do it again, and things like that. And it's, and he called the whole kind of like, you know, situation embarrassing. And I think that's kind of split a lot of people generally, but I'm definitely giving a nay to the Formula One industry, and I totally know where, and I totally agree with Lewis Hamilton on it. Yeah, what do you think, Yomi?
Yeah, man, it's kind of like the whole Colin Kaepernick, is that how you pronounce it? Kaepernick?
Yeah.
I've never learned. But yeah, like when he took the knee all those years ago and then NFL like froze him out for it and was just really shitty. And then now how many years later, they, you know, they've come out and basically apologized for it. So I wonder if F1 will kind of, you know, in relation to the backlash, kind of like then try to act as if they're like with it. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They didn't take a stronger stance on it because we're now at a point where even Boris Johnson has, I mean, obviously he probably didn't mean it, but even he came to say Black Lives Matter. So it's kind of like interesting that they're still so passive when it's kind of almost like, for lack of a better phrase, like, to support, or at least be appearing to support. So it's very interesting that, you know, they're still kind of on the fence. I don't know what's worse though, pretending to support or just being open, like, hey, this is exactly we're not about issue. It. Do you know what I mean?
And I think that F1 has such a bad like reputation when it comes to inclusivity and, you know, and diversity anyway, that it's such an elite sport that like it's by virtue of it existing, it's just, it's not like, it's not inclusive whatsoever. There's so many problems with it. And I feel like, I guess his frustration is, you know, I'm trying to basically like galvanize people. And I think it's that whole thing of like, oh, I've done it once, so why do I keep doing this again? And it's that whole thing of like gestures. Why is this just a gesture? But I think that in all honesty, if you can't take the knee with me, then this whole fight for racism that you think is about diversity and inclusion, like, racism isn't about diversity and inclusion. It goes beyond that. And it's absolutely literally about the overthrow of like real oppression. And I think if you guys don't even can do a basic like thing such as just knee and respect that, then we're not in this together. So I think that's probably where, you know, Lewis Hamilton has been quite frustrated. But I'm very proud of Lewis Hamilton. I think I really, you know, rate how, you know, he's never had it easy in terms of the British press vilifying him for basically just being a young Black man who has money and living his life. So he's never been quite most likable in that respect from the British press point of view over the years. But I definitely think that him not just, you know, allowing this moment to pass and not taking it seriously is something that I'm, yeah, very proud of him for.
Definitely, man, because he could have, it wouldn't have been hard, like he could have just kept it pushing and just been like, oh yeah, well that was interesting what's it happened, and kept it pushing. But you know what I mean, he didn't. So
absolutely,
shouts to him, and that's why he's our slay. Well, he's our slay in there. Look at me, I'm like ever the optimist, I've completely reappropriated, and that is why Lewis Hamilton is our slay of the week. But no, that's why they're the name.
No, I like that, that's the slay. Yeah. And that's how we're going to end the positive show, on a positive note. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Until next week or the week after, we'll see you guys later. See ya.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.